Gast hier, den Philipp Roman, at the last KDA conference there I heard and talk about my simulation tool built on Wildrun. Today I want to add to this talk more or less and present you some three measurement tools and how to visualize results and how to make things out of it. I hope this is interesting for KDE application developers because everybody needs performance, I think. You want to see what's going on in your application. And actually, the simulation stuff we made is quite interesting if you want to see what's happening, what's the call graph, what the functions are related to each other. But if you're looking for the real time distribution of the functions, you will see that real measurement is always different to simulation. So it's always better to use, for example, something like GoProfile, which is a tool which can measure real hardware on Linux. Okay, so I will start with some introduction, then some basic terms about performance analysis. This, I think, is needed to understand other things I will demonstrate later on and to get some insights on the visualization stuff then. The last point is what's still missing here. Okay, first, why would you do performance analysis for KDE applications? Usually, as I said, you want to do some optimization, so check if your program is running in the way you assumed it to run. And so you first have to do some analysis to do optimizations later on. Especially, I think, for open source applications, it's critical for acceptance that you have a responsive application and, largely user base, I think. And the last thing is, even if you have, as developer, a fast machine, not every binary users will have. So it could perhaps be interesting to slow down this program a little bit. For example, run to Vibrant and look how it looks like on a slow machine. Okay, some things about me. Since the beginning, KDE, admirer more or less. I started with some little game in KDE 1.0 and looked for the development of it. And currently I'm working in Munich at the university on cache optimizations. And that's a nice, that's good luck for me because I can work on my visualization stuff here, which is open source, and I hope a lot of people will use that. Okay, now I'm going to the performance analysis stuff. Why do you want to use it? You want to see where are the bottlenecks in the program, where are the code limitations. Especially if you have KDE applications, I always want to pronounce here that we do the performance analysis stuff here for KDE applications. That are the words here in parentheses, which I added especially for this talk. So for example, you don't know which library functions are most costly, and by analysis you can see it. As I said before, you want to check for some assumptions of runtime behavior. For example, does my application do some redundant pain operations multiple times, for example, 1,000 times in a row, and you will see it here. Another thing is to choose some best algorithm from different alternatives for solving a problem. And last but not least, you want often to see if I have foreign code I don't have written, what is the characteristic of the code. And here, the analysis is very interesting for you to get some insight into code which has been written from another person. Okay, so usually you start performance analysis after you have tested your implementation. So if it's crashing, it's of no use. And you have to run it on the optimized release version because that's the performance the user will see in the end. Yeah, I have a point here. You have to use typical input data. Let's say, for example, for the compiler that you want to check measurements for the reload rendering of a big HTML page, for example. So the usual optimization cycle is that you start, you know you have a problem, you measure, locate the bottleneck, modify your code, hope that you have changed it, so you have to check for improvement later on, and if you see is this improvement enough, then you can stop or you have to do it again. So here I have some typical bottlenecks in sequential code. The first are logical errors, for example, much too often called functions, bad algorithms. Here I have 2 points which go a little bit lower. For example, sometimes it's interesting to see if the memory access behavior of your application is good or bad, which means if the caches of your machine is exploited or not. This means that you have a bad layout or no locality. Here the problem is that, let's say that's a little bit too low level for user applications, because if you are programming in C++, you get a lot of objects and you don't know where they are put into memory, so you can't influence it. Okay, so here I say that these 2 points, another point is what could cause a slowdown on your CPU is if you have a lot of jumps, but this is also not possible to influence more or less with C++ code. So these 2 points are not appropriate for the applications, I think. Okay, if you do some measurement, you typically see everything which is measurable. And the first thing is, of course, you want to see the time partitioning to get a reason for performance loss. And the partitioning of the time has to be shown in correspondence to the source code, to some relation. Then you want to see some runtime numbers, for example, the number of calls and the caller relations. You want to see which function does call which other function. And of course, the measurement itself shouldn't influence the measurement results. So if you have a method which can do everything but itself has an overhead of, say, 200%, then it's of no use, because the measurement results will be, of course, wrong, because they measure the tool itself and not your application. So some terms before I go on. I want to say something about the trace. The trace is a stream of timestamp events. This would be the ideal way. You would see exactly what's happening. For example, here you would get A is calling B. I say you get some tree, and here's some time. Here's the time going on from left to right. And you see A is calling B, C, then A is calling C, and so on. And the problem here is you get a huge amount of data, and that's not practical. Actually, if you want to do analysis of a sequential application, that's actually not needed. It would be needed, for example, if you want to do debugging of your application, that's for sure. This thing is called a dynamic call tree, all the calls which are happening. And the better thing to use here is to do some profiling, which means I want to add up all the function calls from ADP, for example. Here you see we have two, here and here, and you get the rest of all functions and the relationship between functions. Here in this call graph, you see that each function is only visible one time instead of here the call tree. So if you do this way, you get an amount of data which is linear to your code size, and that's actually for huge applications like KDE application or Mozilla and so on, actually practical. And this is called then, instead of dynamic call tree, dynamic call graph. And the whole measurement stuff, if you want to see these things, is called profiling instead of tracing. And now I'm talking about profiling. Okay, if you want to do some measurements, there are different methods you could measure. The best thing, of course, would be to have some precise measurement results. This would mean that you increment some counter if an event is happening, and attribute these counters then to the code which is quickly executed. As I said, this would be more or less some trace, and you would get a huge amount of data. And the problem here is, if you want to have precise measurements, you have to insert code, measurement code in your application, so that the measurement results can say these results come from the code region starting here to the code region starting here. And the problem here is, as I said, you have to modify your code. Okay, that's the last point here. You need instrumentation. Modifying the code from to get in the measurement code is called instrumentation. There are different methods for instrumentation. You could do it yourself, of course. Then there are a lot of tools which are instrumentation for you, either on the source base, so they have to understand C++, for example, or any other language. Then the instrumentation could already be in the library. If you are only interested in measurements inside of a library, there could be a special version of the library for you, which you have to link to, and you get some results there. The instrumentation code, measurement code, can also be included by the compiler, or later on, if you have executable, the executable could be edited by some tool. Another thing is add instrumentation directly before execution, or even while executing the process, a tool could go into another process and modify the code there. And there are actually some tools which do these things. Okay. Another method is called statistical measurement. Here you don't get exact, precise events, but you get an estimation of them. And that's often enough and doesn't have that much overhead. Here, this method is called sampling. The sampling is based on some assumption. The thing here is that you normally, in an optimal way, would like to see every event which is happening, which you want to measure. And sampling says, I don't check every event, but only every nth event. And I hope that the time distribution, if I look at every nth event, will be the same as if I had looked at every event. Is that clear? Okay. So actually, there are some examples where this assumption doesn't hold, and then the measurement will be wrong. But let's say if you want to measure the rendering of an HTML page, you would have to do it, for example, 10 times in a row, and that run the tool while you're doing it 10 times, so you will get a better coverage of your code. Okay, there would be a similar way. If you have loops, you could say, I want to measure only every nth iteration of a loop, but that would involve instrumentation again. So for sampling, the big advantages that you can tune the overhead of the measurement code yourself, because you can say, I set n to some value. And if n is low, then you get much overhead. If n is high, you have lower overhead, but your measurement result will be not that fine. Won't be a real approximation. Okay. The last thing I want to talk to you about is a method which does simulation of the real hardware or some hardware model you are developing in theory. The problem here is that simulation is always slow stuff. And here it's important for acceptance of such a tool that the hardware model which is simulated is not that detailed. And for example, you want to only simulate a very simple model of your hardware, so you get acceptable slowdowns. The problem here is if you have a very simple hardware, the events will be not the same as the events from reality. So, that's a kind of compromise here, between quality and slowdown. The nice thing about simulation is that the measurement result doesn't influence any results, because the results itself are calculated and doesn't depend on any real measurements. So if you have a rough model of your hardware, you get a high discrepancy to reality. In contrast, if you would have a detailed model, you would get best match to reality. But here the problem again is that you don't know what your hardware is doing. For example, Intel doesn't disclose all its details about microprocessors. So the best thing here is for simulation, to say I want to have a simple model. And this model would represent, for example, a lot of CPUs. Now, if I go back to real measurement, I want to say something about hardware support, which is built into nowadays CPUs. You always need some sensor which is monitoring or observing if there's some event happening. And then if you have the events happening, you need some hardware which is able to process them, collect and store the events. And here, of course, it's the best to have separate hardware for all of these stuff. The problem is this is expensive, and there's a way to get cheap processors if you have a special stuff for measurement, because the normal user won't do the measurement. So here, a compromise is to use the same resources for the data processing of the events. This, of course, has influence on the measurement itself, because the tool will measure a little bit of itself and will put out separate results. Oh, but the nice thing is that most CPUs nowadays have some hardware here, and these are called performance counters. Performance counters typically can sense a lot of things which is going on in the CPU. Here I have, for example, the calculation unit, which is called ALU here, some branch prediction, and so on. You get a lot of low level events from the CPU if you use hardware performance counters. So the problem with hardware performance counters is that you have to integrate them, and that's a difficult. Yeah, a difficult kind of part. So, if you look at real hardware, for example, you see that the Pentium 4 has 18 counters and can be count around 300 different events. The Optum has 8 and the Pentium 4. My Pentium M here, mobile, has only 2, but it's actually enough to give you a presentation about this stuff. Okay, the two uses here are first for instrumentation to read these counters. They are simply incremented when events are happening. The other way is to say I set the counter to some special value and it's counting up, and when there's some overflow, interrupt is produced, and that's exactly the sampling method I said before. You can, when the interrupt is raised, you can get some process states like, for example, the program counter and so on. Yeah, both cases have overheads, and as I said before, hypercons are quite difficult to understand sometimes. Now I go to the third part. I want to show you some real tools and demonstrate them. I hope this is working, the demonstration. Well, I show you demonstration of the simulation stuff and measurement of real data. This is called, this tool here is for Linux, and it's available with most distributions nowadays. It's in the, there's some part which is in the kernel, and it's already in the legacy kernel, so everybody should be able to use it. Okay, this is a list of different tools which are available for Linux. Here I said you can read all the performance counters. You need currently some special patch if you want to do it. This is called performance path CTR. Currently you have to patch it, but there are things going on that I hope is included in Linux 2.6.9 or 10, something like this, because currently it's in the development branch from the model. Okay, then there's another tool which is available for Italian processors. Okay, that's not so interesting, I think, for this audience. Another thing is here, tool for statistical sampling, and here, of course, there is GoProfile available for everybody, for the Linux, open source. There are a few commercial things, like here, Intel says VTune, and okay, and of course there is GProf, which is a basic profiler available on Unix and pages. There are some tools which do instrumentation. Here, the most interesting, of course, is Vagrant, which is able to instrument your code, and you don't have to modify it. And this instrumentation of Vagrant can be used for profiling. And because Vagrant itself will perturb the real data or real times, you have to use it with simulation. So that's something here. Okay, the first example, I won't give a demonstration of it, is GProf. I think you all know about it. GProf is able to measure polar relation between functions. It increments some poi counter if the function is small, and this is compiled in by the compiler, by the GCC compiler, if you run it with PG. The problem with GProf is that it's actually not really useful for KDE development, because it only can measure static linked applications, and it can't cope with plugins and so on. So I don't have any demonstration here. But after you run, you have to compile it. You run the application, you get an output file, and you can look at it with the GProf. Here you have sometimes, well, usually an overhead of around 200%, so your application will run in double time. Okay, but the good thing is it's available for everybody. Okay. The example 2 here is the simulation stuff, and actually Vagrant itself has some profiling tool which does measure the cache simulation and cache utilization, and the tool I have provided here is built up on this cache simulator, and it generates the oil graph of your program in addition. The nice thing is, as I said, you don't have to modify your code, you can use your executable, and you can run it, and while it is able to look at every detail. Yes. The problem, as I said, is that you have to simulate the stuff, and so it's kind of slow. This is the web page of it. Okay, the disadvantages, yeah. Another thing is that you can only observe user level. So if your application is driving a lot of kernel traffic and kernel load, you won't get it this way. That's another problem. Okay, something about usage. You simply pre-compiled PowerPoint on the command line, and this will produce some output file that you either can check the output with some command line tool, which will give you ASCII results, or you can use the GUI. I will do some demonstration on it later on. Some interesting things to cope with the slowness of simulation is to first switch off the cache simulator if you don't need it. Before it's switched on, but you can speed up the simulation with a factor of 2 or 3 if you switch off the cache simulation. Actually, I think normal user applications don't need, or you don't need the measurement for the exact cache results if there wasn't level 2 miss and something like that, because these events are quite difficult to understand. And normally it's enough if you see the call graph and see my function is called 2,000 times, and you say, oh, I thought it should be called only one time. So that doesn't have anything to do with the memory access characteristics of the application. So I think often you can switch it off. And another thing is, if you want to measure some part of your application which is triggered by some menu item, for example, you don't want to simulate all the stuff of the start part of your code. And here, that's a nice feature I built in lately, is that you can say, I don't want to instrument from the beginning. Let's say, I don't want to build up the call graph from the beginning, but I want to switch it on interactively when my measurement function starts. And here the nice thing is, if you start programs with this option, you won't, you will get the speed of the pure very good overhead alone, and that's only a factor of slowdown of 3 to 5, so actually you can cope with it. And if you want to say, I want to measure, for example, HTML rendering, you switch instrumentation on directly before you click, for example, the reload button. And so actually here the slowness is, let's say, a factor of 3 to 5, and this simulation stuff around 20 already. And if you have the cache simulation, it's around 50. So that's quite a difference here. Okay, so now I hope I can do some demonstration of this. Yeah, it takes some time. in real time it takes perhaps 1 second. So here you see it takes 5 seconds. Okay, now let's see. I have some script which can control the simulation stuff. For example, if I start this, I see there is simulation going on here for one process, which is concurrent. Now I want to see the state of the simulation. And here you see no information available as the simulation is switched off. So you have to switch on to get any interesting things about simulation. So you say, one is I on. And now, if you look at the status, you see that this process has one thread and there are a few events connected. Actually, if the cache simulator is on, these are all cache events. And even from the time here, from switching on that simulation to executing this, there were already 700,000 functions executed and 2,000 functions. Okay, and this is going up, and you, for example, could look at the current, the actual backtrace. There's nothing interesting. Could here is the event loop, and you are more or less in the select here. Minus B shows you the current backtrace. And here you see the difference between switching on instrumentation while running from the start and later on. Because I would have started the simulator from the beginning, you would see here the backtrace up to main. And now you see only the backtrace up to the function which was running when I switched on instrumentation. But that's actually fine, I think. So, as I said, I want to measure some the rendering stuff, and here I simply do some reload. And now everything is slow, going slow. And okay, let's see at the back price here again. And you see there's a lot of things going on. For example, here you have rendering KHTML, and there's the passing of the structure and so on. And below on the stack trace you have the data transfer from the host wave. Okay, and you would have to wait a little bit till again and select. Now for this page it will last about a minute, so I want to stop this demonstration first and we get the results later and then go back to the slides. Okay, the next tool which can do real measurement and doesn't influence, well, doesn't slow down the execution is by using sampling with real hardware performance problems. Here, you first have to configure your tool. The first difficult stuff is what do you want to measure. There are a lot of events, as I said, the Pentium 4 has around 300 different events you can measure, and it's quite difficult to understand all of this stuff. So the best thing is first measure time. Time means the number of cycles the processor is doing. After configuration, we start the profile, the O profile daemon with OP control minus S. Then system-wide sampling is switched on, you can run your code. Afterwards, you stop the daemon, flush the measurement. Data is produced by using OP control minus D, and the daemon is stopped with minus H. Afterwards, you can check for the measurement results with OP report, and nice thing, you can actually convert them to a format which is so these data can be looked at with the GUI of KHTML. So here we can do the demonstration again for the same thing. So let's see here. Okay. It's say, yeah, you see here the writing is around half of the page. I simply will stop it here. I have prepared the results already. So, okay, so let's say first, OProfile has to be configured. Okay, OProf. There's a GUI tool for configuring this. This tool here has to be run or started by the root account because the tool has access to CPU resources. And if every user could use this tool, he could observe another user on this machine. So that's actually a security problem. So you have to use the root account, and that's one problem. Perhaps if you don't have a root account on such a machine, you can't do the machine. So you here you see quite interesting interface. You have a list of all the events which can be measured, and the one which will be measured will be selected here. So if I select another thing, this means I had selected this one, this is the time actually, at this one. And here the red and green points mean only that there's another counter available in the hardware which is able to do some further measurement. Actually, I want to only measure time now here. For these two performance counters of my notebook are enough, as I only use one. If you don't want to use GUI for this configuration, you can look at some configuration file. It's a PowerPoint demon. Okay, and here you see the choose events for measuring its CPU clock. Unfortunately, it means that the counting isn't incrementing when notebooks in sleep state. Okay, and here there's some problem with mobile notebooks because often they are running at a lower lower speed. So I first want to say switch on full speed of my processor that the processor speed isn't changed by your measuring. So currently before the notebook was running at 600 megahertz and now it's running at its full range of 1.4 PR. Okay, so this is needed before, otherwise the results would be not very good. Okay, now I said start. Oh, I first want to start the program again. Then again, load this page. As you see, in reality, it's going quite fast. Okay, start the measurement here. OP controller -S. Now, I press the reload button, say a few times. And then stop the measurement again. I forgot something. I have old measurements results here. I have to first delete the old measurements results and start all over again. But this demonstration is easier because it's really fine here. Again, some results. Then dump the data and stop the demon. And now if you look at the report, you can see here there was a lot of okay, here you see first I have Pentium M here and it's running at this speed and you see there are a lot of samples and 83% of our samples were happening inside of Comparo, which are 50,000 subways. So here I configured the counter to make sample every 100,000 events. This means if I have a CPU which is running at 1.4 megahertz, I get actually 14,000 samples per second. So you see this should be around 8. It was perhaps the 2 or 3 reloads were perhaps 4 seconds. Okay, now if you look at the results, you see at first an overview that in the key HTML library there were 65% of the time spent and so on. You could look at the stuff regarding head resolution of functions. Okay, so here you see the measurement stuff of Comparo. Comparo is the first here actually. And there's a function, find next layer, which is actually needing 15% of time in the rendering. Perhaps that's a hint for the developers to start optimizing here. Now, the interesting thing is here, if you look at the data of the simulation, you will see that in the simulation, this function will appear some in the lower end. And actually, I don't have a reason for this. You have to look at some details, what's the difference between simulation and reality, and what is my CPU doing, and so on. I think a lot of things here says, I think that one problem here is that this function is doing a lot of searching stuff in memory, and this is quite slow. But actually, I don't know why the simulation is showing this. Okay, and then. Okay, now let's go back to the slides. Okay, I want to come through the visualization of the results. Of course, it's nice because there's an ASCII list of results, but it's of course better to have some GUI application to browse around, especially if you have a really huge amount of data you want to look at. Something about understanding the GUI stuff here first. I want to say something about the data model which is used. The things which are measured by the tools is the lowest thing possible. Events are attributed to a sample instructions. And a tool has to aggregate these event counters to source lines, to functions, to function groups. For example, you want to see what's happening in the shared libraries, in some shared library or some source file or some C++. And then you can go up again and say, I have multiple time slots of my application I have measured. I want to sum up different measurements. So these are profile data files which are loaded together. These are dumps. And then you have your experiment with profiling one application. And the GUI is able to aggregate all the events here in this hierarchy. Then there is a list of functions in the GUI, and you can select some function to see details of this function. And here you have some visualizations. The first thing I show here is a list of events you have measured, or the tool has measured. For O profiles, it would be only time, but you could use different counters. These would be listed here. And if you select some event here, you get results of this event type in the other visualizations. This is the most interesting thing. You have the call graph, and you have tooltips which say which events were happening. Another nice visualization is actually this thing here. That's a tree map. You are able to see the distribution of the counters here. Let's say, first, this visualization says every function gets some rectangle, and the rectangle size or the rectangle area is proportional to the counter, to the values measured, the counter stuff measured of for this function or the functions below. So if you look at main, for example, you get 100% of the application typically, and then rectangles embedded in this are the functions which are called. For example, here we have a call to a function called recycle in this example, which is embedded in main. And then you have two functions which are embedded here again. And here you see that there's a distribution of 25% to 70, and you see it here in the, by looking at the area size. Okay. Another visualization question is, of course, the annotation of your source code. You see for each line of your C++ code what are the events happening. And actually, here in this example, you see some percentage number. You can switch between absolute numbers and percentage number related to the cool profile decision. Another interesting thing is, if you want to see some details, you see this assembly listing, and for every assembly instruction that comes. Okay, and here I will do another demo. Okay. As I said, I have to prepare some things. First, look at the results from O profile. In the slide before, I had shown you the comment line for the conversion script. Okay, 5 minutes. I will speed up. Let's see, you can convert it and load this here into confirm. And here you see the problem is sampling. You only get exclusive numbers, you don't get any whole graph. That's that. Because that we can't show you the relation of function because it doesn't measure it. So here you see that only in event time, I also measured here instructions to time. Yeah. Okay, this is the time distribution. And you see, if you look at the percentage here, actually this was another experiment here, the time was even higher. Okay, that's already, that's the same function as this OP report, the function find next layer. But even with sampling, you could look at the annotation, for example, of the sample code. Switch on absolute values. So you see here for every instruction how much time was spent here, how many samples actually were happening while this code was running. Okay, and here's some problem because there should be some assembler. Okay. Then the set again, if you look at the same results for through the simulation. That was the data the simulation produced. Here we have another view first. You get the call graph. You get the call graph here, for example, for different functions here. And the kind of interesting thing here is that if you look for one next layer, killing quite at the bottom. So there's a problem here with the situation. So we have to really look at the data of the files producer. Okay, I run out of time. A few last slides. Oops. What's happening with the simulation stuff? I want to implement some feature that you can define arbitrary user costs. If you specify on the command line of the simulation that some cost event should be incremented by some amount, if some special functions entered, you can, for example, get events for the memory which is allocated if you use here power. Another thing is get relation to data structures, okay, and enhancing the simulation stuff a little bit. And for the GUI stuff, the interesting thing is here to look at the combination of the simulation results and the real measurement. As I said, O-profile doesn't give you the choreograph, but simulation gives you. So if you merge the things, you could get actually real measurements combined with the choreograph, which was produced by the simulation. You would get all the data by using the real measurement. And that's the next thing to come. Of course, comparison of different measurements is needed, and redesign to be able for other people to program plugins and so on. Okay, that's it.
Questions. So, there are questions?
Yeah.
Just a quick question. Which of the tools can handle system calls?
System calls, you mean the simulation stuff? It depends on the tool. For example, O-profile is measuring the cool system. In the demonstration here, I only have the measurement results for the converter, but actually O-profile gives you, as you see here, results for every binary which was running in the system. So you also see, for example, if you go up here, there were 10% of the time spent in the Linux kernel. And if you have the debug information of the Linux kernel, you actually see the functions which were running. The difference here is you don't get a choreograph between user and kernel. And it's difficult to say what simulation is. With the simulation stuff, you can only measure user level, as I said. But another option of the simulation stuff I last implemented was to measure the time between system calls. So you can see what time is happening. But the problem is here, for a GUI application, you will always be in select, and so the time will be spent in select a few seconds, and you don't see anything else, so that's the problem here.
Okay. Other questions? We have 1 or 2 more minutes, so feel free to ask. Okay. Looks like you answered all of them. Okay, so thank you, Josef.